I love the talking, the sharing. Some of you are saying hello. I haven't seen you in a while, so welcome to Peace Chapel again, and we're glad that you're here. If this is your first time, or maybe it's been a very, very long time, things have changed, but there's a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. If you would take a moment and fill that out, let us know that you're here. At the conclusion of the service, we have a gift for you as a way of saying thanks for coming today and being a part of church. And so the Connect card, just hold on to that to the very end. Down the lobby, we'll have a gift for you. So thank you for doing that. We also have a prayer card. On the back of that is the empty space for you to write down your prayer needs. We get them every week, and as a team, we pray for them. The intercessory prayer team also prays for your needs. So in just a few moments, the offering is going to come by. You can just drop it in there. So you got a few minutes as we have some announcements for you to fill out your prayer need. And some of you know what to do. You've been doing this, and so we want to agree with you in prayer. And so take a moment and fill that out. Right now, we've got some announcements with Brother Paul.
So as Pastor mentioned, Wednesday mornings at 10:30, we have the intercessory prayer group that gets together and prays for the needs that you've either submitted online or that you've dropped in the offering. So if you're available to come out and take part in that, we invite you to come out and be part of that group. It meets in the study here at the back of the sanctuary every Wednesday morning at 10:30. We have a men's Bible study that meets Wednesday nights at 6:30. We're just starting a new study called Faith Foundations.
You and I are made to enjoy God in all of his glory. But that's not all. Don't settle for a supposed Christianity that consists of praying a prayer at some point in your life and then coasting your way to heaven with casual commitment to Christ on earth. Every disciple of Jesus is called by God to share his word, show his word, and teach his word, and serve the world as a disciple maker. Lift your eyes from all lesser purposes. What does a life look like that is consumed with this purpose, enjoying God in all of his glory and exalting God in all the nations of the world?
So men, I invite you to come out and be part of that as we look at what God's purpose is for each and every one of us in our lives. There's women's Bible small groups that meet. One meets Wednesday nights at 6:30, and there's another group that meets Thursday mornings at 10:30. So ladies, take advantage of those. We have an adult Sunday school that meets 9:30 in the fellowship hall every Sunday morning. Right now, we're going through a series of lessons in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy. While we're up here on the lower level, we have Kids Central, Kids Central Tykes, and Kids Central Babies, and that for ministering for all of our young people from age 6 weeks up. Normally, on Sunday nights, we have our youth group, Peace Chapel Youth, but because of today's picnic, that's been canceled for this week. Down in the lobby, there's a container for trick-or-treat candy collection. That's trunk or treat. Will be coming up October 26th, but invites you to drop off candy in preparation for that. As I mentioned, today is our annual church picnic right after church. The church provides the chicken, and people in the congregation have brought various dishes to share. But if you didn't bring anything, that doesn't mean you can't take part. We invite you to still come over and join us. There's maps down in the lobby, but otherwise you just go to the end of the road here, take a left, and when you get to the light, you just continue going straight, and the park is on the right. So I invite you to come be part of that. We have a Fall Project Day coming up September 14th at 8:30 to do some little beautification type things, small painting projects, and some things to try and make the church look better. If you're able to come out and be part of that, we invite you to come out. Family Sunday. There will be no class for grades K through 5, but the preschool class and nursery will still be meeting on a lower level. So the K through 5 will be up with us in the sanctuary next Sunday. And also next Sunday, and that's one of the reasons they're going to be up here, is witnessing one of the other ordinances of the church is water baptism. We saw one this morning, communion, but they'll be able to see water baptism next Sunday. We will have several candidates following the Lord's example in baptism. There's QR codes up on the screen that allow you to interact with our Facebook and Instagram pages. I invite you to do that. And now I'll turn it over to Brother Tom for the offering.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Good Sunday morning. We're going to take up an offering. If the ushers would come forward. Hope everybody's ready for the picnic today. Hope you brought your appetite with you. We're going to eat good. So anyway, let's pray over the offering, and then we'll receive it. Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity to give back to your kingdom, Lord, just a portion of what you've given us. Help us, Lord, to give cheerfully. Help us to be obedient. Bless both gift and giver now in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify. Hallelujah. We are not.
Thank you, Peace Chapel, for your generous giving, tithes and offerings. Some of you may know we got a new roof last couple of days installed. There's a couple of pictures of those, I believe. Anyway, they'll be on the screen, but a couple of days, they started Thursday, and a big project, taking the roof on both sides, the north and the south, and there's the north side. And there it is, and there it is. Isn't that sharp? Yeah. So thank you for your giving, and as we are being responsible with those dollars to cover this building so it doesn't leak, that'd be bad if you were sitting there and it was a drip on your head. And but that protects everything else underneath. So God is good, God is faithful. Amen. Well, I grew up in West Valley City, Utah. It's a suburb outside of Salt Lake City. And right down the street from our house was the driver's ed facility. Back then, you would take your written test inside the building, and then you would take your actual driving test on this mock course down below. So it had the two-way, the four-way stops, it had the railroad crossing, it had the merging lanes, and parking, and all of that, everything you would experience on the real road. So the day I turned 16, a long time ago, I went down to the driver's ed facility and took the written test. I passed, of course, but then I took the driver's test. So I borrowed my aunt and uncle's blue Ford Pinto. Why are you laughing? That's not funny. The reason I borrowed their car, and that's just a picture off Google, but it was automatic. Now, I do know how to drive stick, but this was automatic. I thought it'd be easier, right? If you're on a hill and you're driving stick, that can be challenging, right, to pop the clutch and get in the gear, and because you don't want to go backwards and die. So I borrowed their car. So the instructor got in the car. I did all the pre-giving, you know, the pre-driving checklist, walked around like you're supposed to. No one does that anymore, but you check the tires, you check for leaks underneath the car, inspect the windows, the headlights, the taillights, and the brake lights. Very responsible, right? 16-year-old, I want to pass. Inside the car, I aligned, adjusted my seat, my headrest, put on my seat belt. And before starting the car, I locked the doors, adjusted the side and rear view mirror. See, that car only had one mirror. You notice that? So I couldn't adjust that one over there. And with my foot on the brake, you know, I started the car, and the instructor told me where to go on this mock driving course. So I obeyed all the signs, and I think I missed something. I forgot what it was, but I passed the driving test so long ago. No need to clap. That's funny. It's not a big deal. Okay. Wow. Well, I got to say this. Most people don't like taking tests. There are the rare people, right, who enjoy taking tests. But for the most part, you know, taking a test can be on the negative side. Even mentioning the word test conjures up some good and some bad memories and emotions. You know, a test that we crammed for, staying up all night into the night in high school or college, right? And the next morning we show up and we aced it. Or the test that we blew off in high school or college and we failed it. Failed it. You see, to some, learning and taking tests isn't really that stressful. But to others like me, tests are filled with anxiety. They're filled with pressure. And I'm not sure this is true for everyone, but I feel like we generally fall into two camps, right? How many prefer multiple choice tests? Because my hand's up, right? If I feel like if I can see the answer, I'm going to get it, right? If it's A, B, C, and D, I've got 25% chance. How many prefer the essay-style test? You just write it out, write whatever you want. Okay. How many, it doesn't matter. Either way, you do pretty good at tests. Okay, some of you. How about neither? Okay. Hands go up. Okay. Well, writing an essay is easier than multiple choice or vice versa, depending which camp you're in. But we all have different ways of learning and different ways of taking tests. Some, and I'm jealous of you, some of you can study for 2 minutes, ready to go. For others, it takes 20 hours, right? Oh, did I get it all? There are all kinds of tests that we must take. Driving tests, I mentioned earlier. There's tests in school or college, tests at work, and even tests in life. And as we get older, tests take on a different look and meaning and have different consequences. Those of us that are out of high school and out of college, no longer, we don't take tests on paper or on a laptop anymore. But the tests that we all take are now with people, in our relationships, with our spouse, in our family, and ultimately within ourselves, these tests. Now the tests are moral. Now the tests are ethical. Now the tests are physical or mental or financial and a host of other type tests. You know, someone at work is really testing our patience. Not here at PC though, right? A political party is really testing our commitment to donate. A relative is really pushing our buttons and testing our boundaries. A child or a teenager is really testing our limits. We've all faced those tests in life, and some of them we passed. We did good. We did it right. And unfortunately, some of those same kind of tests in life, we blew it. We failed. And we've got some regrets. I want to begin a new sermon series titled God's Tests. God's tests. Over the next several weeks, I want to look at the different tests that God gives us, not because he's a cruel God ready to pound us when we get it wrong, no, but because he loves us. We've all failed tests in the past, and I believe we've all passed some of those test as well. And the title of my message this morning, the focus this morning on the God's test is the test of trust. Some of you already know what I'm going to say. You already know, like, yeah, I've been there, or I'm in there now. I know what this means. Pastor Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, says that life is a test. Life is a test. I think we would all agree with that statement. He goes on to explain that God is at work in the circumstances of our lives, and He often uses those circumstances to test us. God is at work in the circumstances of our lives, and He often uses those very same circumstances to test you and I. He uses tests to develop in us the principles and the character and the nature of Himself. We will face tests in this life. You see, tests are the tools that God uses to shape and to mold our character and give us greater understanding of His heart. I got to stop right here and say this morning. It's important to remember that tests are not a sign that something is broken or that we have failed in some way. Tests are not a sign that something is broken or that we have failed in some way. Tests are the strategy of a loving, merciful God to develop you and me. You see, the challenge for all of us is in this life is to not avoid the tests when they come, but to pass them. Not to avoid the tests, ignore it, procrastinate it, sweep it under the rug, pretend it doesn't exist. No, no. The challenge is for you and me to face them. The tests of life will come. We can't put it off. Or we're going to suffer the consequences, just like we did in college or high school, you know, blowing off a test. We can face them. And with God's help, guess what? We can pass them. When we face a test, you know, I know my default reaction is to pursue comfort. And I would suspect that's all of us, right? When a test is coming our way from God, we look for something to comfort us, something to soothe us. God and His test, it makes us uncomfortable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But we must face it. You see, and we can mistake God's tests that He's mad at us, that He's abandoned us. He's making us, you know, we're feeling hopeless. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this test? And many, many people going through a test have sadly turned away from God instead of turning to God. They've walked away from all possibility that this is a test to see where their true trust lies. It's an opportunity to see what's inside. It's no secret this morning that God requires faith. He requires trust from those who would serve Him. God's Word reminds us that faith is important to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "Without faith, no one can please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He is real and that He rewards those who truly want to find Him." So first, we must believe that God is real, that He exists, that we must believe that His Word is true. And if we seek God sincerely in our heart, God says He will reward us. We will find Him. And when we find Him, God will bless us. So the question is this morning, why does God test us? Why does God test us? You see, it's necessary to have faith, to have trust, to please God. There's a story in the Bible that illustrates a test from God. It's found in the book of Genesis, and it's the story of Abraham and Isaac. And you guys know the story well, probably. Abraham was 99 years old when God gave him a promise that he would be a father to many nations. Sarah, his wife, is 90 years old. They're both way too old to have kids. Well, three visitors appear before Abraham, and they basically told him that at this time next year, your wife Sarah will have a son. And Abraham and Sarah laughed in disbelief that when they heard this news. But then God asked in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, I am the Lord. There is nothing too difficult for me. A few chapters later, and God gave them what he had promised. So Genesis chapter 21, starting with verse 1, it says this, then the Lord did exactly what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant, and she gave a son to Abraham in his old age. It all happened at the time God had said it would. And Abraham named his son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old at the time. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. For who would have dreamed that I would ever have a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. So God brought about what he said he would do for Abraham and Sarah. Isaac's name actually means he laughs. And in studying, I read that Isaac's birth brought laughter to Sarah, to her heart. This time, her laughter was not from disbelief, but in joy. A few years later, God tested Abraham. Chapter 22 says this. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will point out to you. And the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood to build a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place where God had told him to go. On the third day of the journey, Abraham saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the young men. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went on together, Isaac said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the wood and the fire, said the boy, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? God will provide a lamb, my son, Abraham answered, and they both went on together. And when they arrived at the place where God had told Abraham to go, he built an altar and placed the wood on it. Then he tied Isaac up and laid him on the altar over the wood. And Abraham took the knife and lifted it up to kill his son as a sacrifice to the Lord. At that moment, the angel of the Lord shouted to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, he answered, I'm listening. Lay down the knife, the angel said. Do not hurt the boy in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld even your beloved son from me. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a bush. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering on the altar in place of his son. When Isaac was a boy, God tested Abraham. What was the test? Abraham was to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. Now, a burnt offering, which means ascend, right, go up in smoke, was an offering given to God in sacrificing an animal for the punishment of sin and to renew the relationship with God. It was never designed for a human, but for an animal. Does God condone child sacrifice? Absolutely not. God was testing him. You see, this wasn't just any son, but the very son that God had promised him. You see, on this side of history, we can clearly see what God is doing. God's testing him. We can read the end of the story. We know that Abraham doesn't kill his son, and God provided a ram in the bush, and it all worked out. We can see that from this side. But at the time, Abraham didn't know any of this. He simply put his trust and faith in God. Abraham takes his son up to Mount Moriah. It's a three-day journey, and you can imagine what was going on in Abraham's mind, what was going on in his heart as he walked with his son up the mountain. He left his two servants behind, and he took Isaac to sacrifice him. And Isaac raises up the question. It's a great question about the lamb for the sacrifice. And Abraham's reply was that God will provide. Maybe Abraham was thinking, I sure hope God provides. I sure hope God provides. I sure hope there's an animal up there. I really, really don't want to sacrifice my son. Well, they made the altar. They added the wood. Then he ties up Isaac. You can imagine what was going through Isaac's mind. Then he took the knife and is about to kill his son as a sacrifice when the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. I know that you truly fear the Lord, that you have not withheld even your son from me, that you love me more than your son. Abraham had passed the test. When God tested Abraham, he wasn't trying to stretch Abraham to a breaking point, although it may seem like it. That would be a very hard test to go through. God had a specific purpose for this test. And in studying this week for this message, God would ultimately lead Abraham to places where absolute trust was needed without explanation. So this was a test to see if Abraham would come through. Abraham had to pass the test of trust in order to be ready for the life that God had placed before him. I'll say it again this morning. God is at work in the circumstances of your life. And he often uses those circumstances to test you. He uses tests to develop in you the principles and the character and the nature of God himself. And deep down, I believe that you want to pass the tests that come your way. You want to be a good parent. You want to be a good grandparent. You want to love others as God loves you. You want to grow in your patience. You want to grow in your understanding. And I believe that most, if not all in this room, as you look back on your life, I truly believe that you want there to be a legacy of a strong faith in God and a strong love for the Lord. You see, tests are never fun. They're never exciting. They can be overwhelming. They can be confusing. How do you pass this test of trust? How do you pass it? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. I believe there are some handles that we can grab a hold of when you feel that you're in the middle of the test of trust. When you're in the test of trust, first thing is to remember the faithfulness of God. Remembering the faithfulness of God, it's the key to passing the test of trust. Because God can be trusted. He has never failed, not even once. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, So know that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. I love that. He is the faithful God. He will keep his agreement of love for 1,000 lifetimes or generations. He does this for people who love him and obey his commands. Because he is God, he is the faithful God. He will always, 100% of the time, keep his word. God will be faithful to keep his word and his promises to you. Even if you don't have a personal relationship with God, he is still the faithful God. He still shows mercy and grace to you, extending his great love to you. The question that, do you love and obey his commands? David prayed a prayer in Psalm 86, but Lord, you are a God who shows mercy and is kind. You don't become angry quickly. You have great love and faithfulness. You see, God's love can always be trusted. He's always patient. He's always kind. He's always faithful. And he's always ready to forgive. If God has come through for you in the past, he is faithful to come through again. In what ways has God been faithful to you in the past? You need to intentionally remember. Maybe you wrote it down in a prayer journal, or maybe you wrote it down in your Bible. Go back and read when God showed himself faithful to you when you were going through a test. And God says, here I am. I'm with you. And as you remember his faithfulness, you can sing, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You must remember the faithfulness of God in your past as you walk through the test, this testing of your trust in him. And as you remember, know that God is faithful. Know that God is trustworthy. Another handle this morning is this: evaluate where I put my trust. Evaluate where I put my trust. Are you going through the test of trust in God? As you do that, step back and consider, where do I put my trust? Is it placed in your own abilities, in your own knowledge? I can't trust anyone in this life, only myself. Is your trust placed in the security of your work or your bank account? Maybe you're trusting in winning the lottery or finding some good luck. Is your trust misplaced in an influential friend or in a relationship? And maybe you've misplaced your trust in other things and or in other people instead of completely trusting in God. Again, we go back to David. King David faced his share of problems and trials and difficulties. And he encouraged you this morning in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust him at all times. You people, trust him at all times. Pour out your hearts in his presence. God is our refuge. Trust in God, not just in the good days, but in the bad ones too. Trust him, you know, tell him all your problems, of your concerns. The Bible says to pour your heart out. What's in there, the anguish, the hurt, the pain, pour it out to God. God is your place of safety. He's your place of protection. He's a place to hide. He's a refuge. Bob Goff says this: you don't need to know everything when you know you're with someone you trust. You don't need to know everything when you're with someone you trust. God is that someone that you can trust. When you can't trust anyone, you can't trust yourself, you can trust God. summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. The chorus, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You see, once you find where or who you're putting your trust in, begin to shift that trust away from that thing or that person and shift it back to God. Third handle this morning is confess my fears to God. Confess my fears to God. As you begin to walk in obedience to God in these areas where you lack trust in Him, confess those fears to Him. See, God loves you, and He understands your weaknesses. And when you're tempted to put your trust in money, and when you're tempted to put your trust in a relationship, when you're tempted to put your trust in a title or power or control or anything else besides God, the writer of Hebrews says this: that is why we have a great high priest, capital H, capital P, who has gone to heaven. Who is this high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for He faced all the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Cling to Jesus. Never stop trusting Him. Why? Because He's been there, and He's felt what you felt. But He never sinned. He was sinless. He gets you and me, and He still loves us. When that happens, you have access. Come boldly to the throne of God's grace to receive His mercy, to receive His help when you need it the most. He's available to you. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know it? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This song takes on a new meaning, that hymn of when you've experienced God's faithfulness and you can look back and trust Him. So confess your fears and your lack of trust to God. I'm weak. I need you, God. The test of trust. As I close this morning, the test of trust. This is one of the hardest things to do in life. Trust in God. Trust in God. It's printed on our money. But we often put trust in ourselves because people have let us down in one way or another. And like Abraham, the example that we read, the story we read, God is wanting us to trust Him, to build His character and His nature in us as we face other difficulties. When I passed my driver's test, they gave me a license to drive. And I'm eligible and have the privilege to drive a car. Teenager, it's a privilege to drive a car. You see, I don't have to take the driver's test every year. I probably don't have to take it for a very long time. You see, we, you and I, we can pass the test of trust, and there may be more than one. By remembering the faithfulness of God, by evaluating where do I put my trust, and then confessing our fears to God. King David invited God to test him. He opened the door and said, God, come in and test me. Psalm 139 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David is asking God to expose any sinful attitudes in his heart. He's asking God to test his devotion, to test his integrity. It was David's desire to be conformed to God's will. You see, trusting in Jesus, friends, it plays a major role in the spiritual development of every believer. Trusting in God. Trust in God. One day, a dad and a son were out in the country, and they were climbing around on some cliffs when the dad heard a voice from above yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me!" He turned around and to see his boy joyfully jumping off a rock straight at him. He jumped and then yelled, "Hey, Dad." And after catching him, they both fell to the ground. For a moment after he had caught the dad, he could hardly talk. When he found his voice again, he gasped in exasperation, "Son, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And he replied with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." You see, the boy's whole assurance was based on the fact that his father could be trusted. He had no doubt. Now, times we do have doubts with God in our relationship. But this boy, in this example, he knew that dad was going to catch him. And as we grow deeper and deeper in relationship with God, our trust and our faith also grows. We can know that God is trustworthy every single time. So my questions to you, what areas of our lives are we lacking trust in God in? What are those? Is it in your finances? In your marriage, in relationships, the future, your health, a wayward son or daughter, or a grandchild? God asks of us today, as he told Abraham and Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I am the Lord, he says. There is nothing too difficult for me. Let's pray.